I am Yatsuki Kurashinsky, FIU Radcliffe's Art and Design Incubator's Tech Conversations host.
Welcome back to Radcliffe Tech Conversations. Today, our guest is David Anasagasti. So, David, welcome back to the incubator.
What up? How you doing? Good to be here.
So, a year ago, the first time I think you dove into the world of cryptocurrency, blockchain, and NFTs. So, what have you done ever since?
Man, it's like in that world, like everything moves so fast and like how everything's been going on in the world. So, I mean, a lot's changed, like, from the last time that I had spoke with you regarding this, that we did the podcast. I was working with somebody and he's still a friend of mine and everything, but I've taken more of a role, like on getting more hands on with everything where like now I'm like doing my own minting. I've learned like from getting into different projects, like I've learned how to like read the contracts. How to make sure, like pretty much how to minimize like the scam factor and try not to get scammed and things like that. I've like learned how to navigate Discord better. We got a really strong Discord now, the BizGame World one with the mods and the admins. They're awesome. Just been snowballing the whole situation, man, like tying my art stuff, like the physical art to the NFT stuff, still keeping a rhythm as far as like how I'm posting, posting one a week. About like as far as on the super rare ones, the one of ones, been experimenting with tying ski masks with NFTs where you have to buy the NFT to get the ski mask, continuing to build community. Like, I mean, that's just some of the stuff like Basil passed by, the bicycle stuff went heavy, just adapting everything that comes my way. And I don't know.
Let's get some chronology here, because in your world, so many things happened on weekly basis. And so how many NFTs are you producing on average?
I mean, well, like during Basel, we did the free one. There was a 50. There was we projected it on the side of the building. So people got an opportunity to get a free NFT. They would take a picture, upload it onto the Discord, follow, retweet, do all that stuff. And so that's 50 of them right there. The ski mask, I dropped the ski mask. I did, I think, 8 NFTs. So that's 8 right there that came along with the ski mask. On Super Rare, I think I'm up to like 40 something that have been released on a weekly basis type of thing. So I'm just trying to stay busy. I'm not really counting them. I'm more counting on the actual collections that I'm doing, because any collection could either be a bigger one, a smaller one. As long as I'm able to wrap my brain around it, I kind of like the pizza one. I did a pizza release. There was each person got a piece of the pizza, and it was a small collection too, like of 20. So I'm more concerned about putting out stuff on a consistent type of basis, being conscious as far as the collections that I'm putting out there and that I'm able to manage them and give myself to them, you know, go the extra step rather than just selling it and whatever. So, cause that whole community and like, you know, the whole utility element of it is like so big in that world now. And I feel like I've always been able to give myself to the fan base. So to give myself more and to keep them engaged, and we're all discovering a bunch of stuff together, it's like, it's a crazy thing that's going on right now.
You created this very skillful position when you connect your crypto art to physical objects that are existing within the context of the city. So maybe talk a little bit about that, because I've been following that process, and we'll talk a little bit later about the geographies of Trash as another project that is being conducted in the kind of conjunction of your residency here at the Radcliffe. But maybe talk about the connection between physical stuff and NFTs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that NFTs could exist on their own. Like, I mean, they're their own asset in a way. I do think that right now it's still so early in that world that having the ability to tie a physical item to it is a bonus. It's something that people could have, they could use, they could collect it, they could separate it, they could sell them, do whatever they want. So it is kind of like a 2-for-1 type of thing. They could very well be like a selling point type of stuff. So I just think it's cool. I mean, a lot of my fan base is on the physical tip. And for me to be able to bring them into the NFT world, making them, you know, change their money to Ethereum, you know, so that way they could buy stuff that way. Just not making the hoops too impossible to jump through to collect certain items, but using certain items to generate the NFT hype and the sales. And to be able to, I mean, I look at the NFTs as basically like if they're, it's kind of like a glorified mailing list. Like once you have that access to that particular person, like that person, you like, you're able to send them stuff whenever you want. And if you're sending them something physical, you could also send them physical stuff randomly. So it goes really well with what I do. I don't know if it will work for everybody else, but as far as for what I do, stringing different things along, you know, having different entry points into collecting my stuff, I try to go from like free to more expensive stuff to, you know, wearable stuff to things you hang on your wall to now things that you keep in, you know, your digital wallets, just trying to keep my hands on everything and keep giving back from all that stuff and doing projects that are very ambitious, community conscious stuff and to elevate people along with me. So it's kind of like, you know, one thing that's hitting hard, taking some of those residuals and kind of like throwing it at other stuff and treating those back burners like if they're front burners type of thing. I don't know if that makes sense. But
after our initial conversation, I think we move into a very kind of different conversation on engaging you in the incubator as an entrepreneurial resident. And during that residency that started as a pilot project last fall, you were able to really re-examine your own practice as an artist, as a creative, and as an entrepreneur. And you propose a lot of interesting possibilities here for our team to think about. And one of the projects that is created under the auspices of this residency is the Geographies of Trash project that is being conducted with in a collaboration with the Wolfsonian Public Humanities Lab. So can you talk a little bit about the idea, how you really connect the discovery of a discarded object on the streets of the city during your bike rides and upcycling them into acquiring a new value for them?
Yeah, I mean, the bicycle riding has always been like crucial once I discovered that. So for me to keep on trying to string things along to throw me back on the bicycle to keep me going with that and keep my mind right and stay, you know, on the sober tip, it's been really beneficial for me. So like getting the idea of the whole incubator, like ideology or whatever it is, like that to build stuff and spider web things on and using resources and all this stuff, it was just logical. Like, I mean, going in there, you guys were super welcoming. You guys, like, even the fact that you guys were betting on me to allow me to work with you guys and were even receptive to the fact that I was like, man, you know what? I'm doing this stuff where I'm staying busy while I'm riding the bike, painting on trash. And you guys found interest in that enough to be like, oh, you know what? We're going to reach out to the Wilsonian people. This might find interest to them. And they got interested. And for them to even want to document it and take it to this other levels, then the project would only exist if the people were like the fan base was actually engaged and they really were into the art that I was leaving. So just using that and using like their appetite for wanting to get engaged and the lack of that that's involved in Miami in general. I mean, it seemed like a no brainer. Like people are getting something out of it. I'm getting something out of it. You guys are getting something out of it. And we're also able to exist cohesively and help each other out. I mean, the amount of people that from that community has came, like, you know, people from all different types of walks of life, all ages. And it's basically centered around picking trash up off of the streets.
Maybe let's elaborate on the value of trash, because for those who really don't know your practice, maybe let's explain a little bit more to them. You jump on a bike, you go through the city, identify pieces of trash and you paint on them. And then you signal to people who follow this project on Instagram that they can pick up a free piece of artwork, right? So maybe explain that.
So getting on the bike is the most important part of the whole entire thing for me. So like by me going out and having a book bag that's already having, you know, some stuff that I need to carry with me anyways, by me going out there and scoping out trash, it's kind of like calling attention to the fact that, yeah, there is trash out there. I like writing on stuff. I like putting my name out there. So for me to paint on trash, it's harmless. For me to be able to know that I'm painting on something that does have value, knowing, like being aware of what my stuff goes for, knowing that I have, like, you know, made collections off of cigarette packs, of beer bottles and all these different things. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not smoking cigarettes anymore, but I am riding bike. I'm encountering these pieces of trash around there. How hard is it for me to intervene on those specific items when I'm going around? And it scratches that itch of wanting to get, you know, more, you know, get my stuff out there more. And to be able to engage with the fan base, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm riding alone. I'm on my own. But to be able to leave something out there, it shows like, all right, I'm activating all these different parts of Miami. It's showing that I'm active, that I'm out there, I'm staying relevant. They're getting something out of it that if they're fans of mine, they're appreciative of it and they're going to want to go get it. If they're not fans of mine and they don't care, at least they'll drive by it and see it up. You know what I'm saying? So it's really not that much extra effort for me to go around, see something, paint on it, and put it out there for people to get it, and then try to still add extra energy to it to know that, like, all right, once they got the stuff, how could I make this cooler? All right, so now we build this community around the whole thing. All right, now let's turn those things into NFTs. Let's give them some value to it. Let me reward them for dropping what they're doing to go get something, which I know has value already, but to encourage them, to let them know, like, yo, like, all right, you don't have to treasure this and take it to the grave. Feel free to sell it. Feel free to do whatever. It's kind of like, all right, if I'm not giving back directly and I'm not giving them like money straight up, then let me give them this engagement. And I feel that it's a bonus. Like, they could go around and take pictures of my art, or they could get engaged and take a piece of trash home that now it's a piece of treasure, you know? I feel it's a no-brainer, you know? Like,
through the process, you engage social media, you engage Instagram quite a bit to communicate how you move through the city. So maybe explain that a little bit. What is the role of Instagram in connecting with the collectors?
Yeah, I mean, social media is such a strong tool. Like, I know that it's addictive. I know that it's bad in different ways or whatever. But if you're a creative, you could easily use it as a tool. And that's what I do. I mean, I like making art that's relevant and like on the moment and doing stuff and having that engagement with people where it's bringing continuous relevance of my artwork. And part of my artwork is to have this above this over the top frequency of what I'm producing, staying out there, staying active, doing it. Like, I like to challenge myself to do stuff like that. And social media is a good way to stay communicating with people, to be able to show what artwork you're doing, and to give people that are outside of like your regular reach a knowing of what's going on. And if you work it correctly, you're basically providing like your own channel. You are doing your own programming. In my case, it's a programming with no programming itself. It's like you have to be tuned in. If you want the random perks, you have to be tuned in, and you can't get everything, but you can at least see what's happening, and you can be happy for whoever it is that happens to be up at like 3 a.m. or some random place that happens to be at the right place at the right time. And it's all strung along with social media. Like, I mean, it's not like I'm sending out a newsletter or putting invites on people's doors or mailing them out. It's right there in the moment. Like, if I want to go live, I go live and people see it or whatever, and engaging all these different things together. It's like, it's stringing it along, and I think making a more pleasurable experience for people to dig even deeper.
In a collaboration with our colleagues and friends from the Wolfsonian Public Humanities Lab, you create another level or layer of a very kind of interesting engagement with the communities.
Yeah, I mean, I never really was digging in so much as to why they would get it, but I know that Martha and Rebecca, they did see the importance in that particular way of like the capturing the story. So like the way that they're handling the interviews is through the roof. Like, I mean, it's awesome. I think that it's awesome to hear this and for the people to be able to see the similarity and what it takes to be somebody that is a fan, that is a collector, that lives in Miami, that is aware of the conditions that we're all currently in and been in and where we came from. And I think that finding that is adding substance to this whole entire expedition that we're taking together. So, I mean, it wasn't me necessarily asking the questions, but I definitely did see the value in the uniqueness of what is going on. Like, this movement that has been existing in many different ways to just link it together with different resources that we've had, and for them to be willing to document it and to put it out there as something that people could look into forever, I think it's pretty awesome. And I think that by us reaching out to people and giving them like a lottery-ish type of way of doing these interviews and then rewarding them while they're done with the interview, we will give them an NFT of the piece. It's this continuous commitment to continue to deliver value. The moment that you get rid of the piece, the moment that you get rid of out of that, like, all right, well, then you're not going to be able to go to this thing or whatever. It's not to hold that over them, but I think that they do see the value in it. And it's cool when people come up and they tell me all this stuff, and, you know, it's humbling, you know.
What have you learned from those interviews that are conducted by Martha through the process? Like, when
I mean, the stories, they're all very unique in their own way. That's why I think when we did the capturing of the stories during Basel, that we did it at the Paramount, that we did it all collectively as kind of like a group talk. I think that not necessarily what I got out of it, but what people got out of it, that they're not alone, that, you know, people want something to do. People want to, I like that. Let me go see if I could get him. Let me see if I could go save up for this. What's all the hype about, you know, and to allow people that ability to reach it. It was a really cool thing. And I think what I got from it was, man, these are all people that have come from all different walks of life, the same way that, you know, me and a bunch of my friends came from different walks of life. And I think what's cool is for them to see, like, damn, this dude is a regular dude that just works really fucking hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that they get that, like, they get something out of it too, like, by seeing that, you know. And it's like, yo, we're regular Miami people. We're just trying to make some fun. Something happened here. All it takes is somebody that is not caring about the environment to throw trash out there, for me to happen to be riding bike by there, and for them to be into it and to be like that competitive nature. I don't know, man. It's kind of cool. I feel weird. Like, you guys talk about it a lot better than I do.
You know? Well, but I think, you know, it's, we talk a lot about, like, you know, what we're doing together as a group and the collaboration with the Public Humanities Lab. But what's really interesting to me, like, you know, the moment when we're able to put your work together and create the exhibition during the art week, during the Basel activities here in Miami at the Paramount Place, when you had the procession of people who collect your work and they're bringing this work to essentially display this. I was lucky to be part of the team that created this exhibition. And I think this very experience of taking something, what existed some hours ago as trash on the streets, to be elevated and put on the walls with a kind of pristine labels and a kind of very different treatment, brought a very, very kind of different experience, not only to you, but to your collectors, right? And I think it was an interesting moment where everybody got together that evening and could really enjoy this work kind of formally placed.
Yeah, no, it was a super interesting time. I mean, but even then, like, I knew what I was digging at when I was doing that. I was like, you know what? Like, Miami for the most part doesn't really focus on its own people during Art Basel. I figured that, like, why not keep this labor intensive art project going on that I was hitting it hard before Basel? Let's put a microscope on it during Basel time. And now when a lot of people throw in the towel, we're still going harder than ever. So now the moves that we make are a lot easier because we have this, you know, glorified test run during Basel time. So it was a lot of work. It was really cool. And I don't know, like, I'm still gassed up about that, man. That's part of what I was saying, was the people showing up. Like, it wasn't like, hey, let's show up and just make a big scene. Like, it was thought out before we did it. Like, I knew that we were going to have a media day that day. I'm like, all right, well, how can we get people to show up and incentivize them? So we made the limited edition shirts. We made limited edition hats, and we made patches. And basically, you got to pick one of the things. So people showed up, they brought a piece of trash, and they got to decide right there on the spot. Like, all right, do I want a hat? Do I want? So the whole entire thing is like a decision-making thing, you know, like I wouldn't expect people to drop what they're doing to go do that. Maybe they would, but like, I feel that if I'm not delivering something on each occasion, then it's like that I'm just digging for them to show up, you know?
A few days ago, you just open up another unveiling of your work that is collected by the people through the Geographies of Trash Project, and it was at the bicycling store Rafa in the Midtown. So do you want to talk about that installation a little bit more?
Yeah, man, that was really fun. We called it Landfill 502, which was a community like title that we kind of came up with. But the idea was, like, when I got into the bicycling, I took on this challenge. It was called the Festive 500. It's 500 kilometers in like 8 days, like starting at Christmas Eve till the early, like to the New Year. And like, I knew that I was like more fit and ready to do it this year. So I was wanting to hype it up as well, because like getting people on bicycles has been like my new high. Like, when people jump on the bike and they see it, I'm like, oh, you see, it's awesome. You know, so I've been trying to get people hyped up on that. So I did this thing. I was like, all right, well, it's Festive 500. I'm going to do the Abel Smith's Glue 502, where you got to do 502 kilometers. I made a limited edition patch that said, you know, it said 502, pretty much like a commemorative type of thing. And people got on the bikes. They, you know, they started riding. They did all the stuff or whatever. But as far as like, you know, the installation, like while I was doing the festive, I was still painting a bunch of trash and everything. So in order to keep that partnership going and keep the relationship tight with Rafa, I was like, yo, like we just did the festive 500. You know, is it cool if we set up this mountain inside your place? And they were cool with it. We did a call for everybody that, you know, that they got a piece between the 24th and the 31st to bring it over to Rafa. We made the sculpture mountain together. We decided to call it Landfill 502 together. And everybody that brought one of the pieces, I was at least minting on the spot. I was giving them an NFT of their piece right on the spot while they were doing it. So the fact that everybody came together and was building the stuff up, the store was happy, everybody was happy. It was really cool, man. And that's another thing. It's a continuous commitment to make sure that these people feel like appreciated, and them knowing like, yo, I know that you're picking up a piece of trash. I know that it's considered art, but I see it as art the same way you do. You know what I'm saying? So like, let's elevate this together. And I feel that people want that, man. Like having a piece of art that you get to show it at a different place or whatever, like that carries a story to it. Like how many people actually buy a piece of art and have a story that goes along with it, that they went out and got it in the middle of nowhere. And then they met up with somebody that gave them a thing called an NFT. And then it's still having this other thing that you could build up, you know, like to show up, show the piece there. You could even show your piece there and somebody happens to want to buy it, you could sell it. Like I'm encouraging that type of behavior. So it's a really cool thing, man. Some people played it right and have made, you know, some money on it. So I'm happy for them.
I know you're on a tight schedule today because you're running to another event today. So do you want to tell our listeners what you're working on now? And I know there's a big garbage bin involved. So
yeah, no, it's cool. So this dude, Val from Art and Folly, he hit me up. He was doing something with the North American Bitcoin Convention. He asked me if I wanted to show something there. He was really into the trash thing. We were thinking of ideas and, you know, I was like, yeah, asked him if he was able to get a dumpster. He was able to make it happen. So my installation to the thing is kind of like an homage to the Geographies of Trash project. And it's like a nicely painted dumpster. He's in the works of figuring out a way to get the dumpster to make like a little tour through Miami, which is kind of cool. But then even further, we're trying to incorporate the dumpster with still like tying it to what the Ratcliffe has done, which is like, you know, allowing people to come in and bring ideas to the table. And I don't know, I still really want to push really hard to knock out that that scholarship. We're trying to raise the money. So via the dumpster, we're trying to figure out ways to get Bitcoin donations and get that scholarship knocked out. So that way people could continue to do this type of stuff and get more community engagement going.
Ejo, thank you so much again for your time. And I know that you're running to set up this installation. So stay tuned to what's happening here at the Ratcliffe Art and Design Incubator, and stay tuned to Geographies of Trash and what David Nafagasti, Eighthole Sniffs Glue, is doing here in Miami. Thank you so much.
Join the Discord. Join the Discord, Biscayne World.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay. Got it. Peace.